The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, I don't know, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Miss the first hour, mostly Vikings Saints.
Yeah.
A little bit of Steelers and Jags sprinkled in. The one thing, and one of the reasons why, the Patriots pretty much blew through the Titans. We didn't talk about that one too much, but the one thing from a matchup perspective that they have such an advantage over anybody they play is Gronkowski.
Yeah, but you know what? Look at what the Minnesota does to tight ends. I think they're number one in the league versus tight ends. Jacksonville, I think, is number two in the league versus tight ends. And if you take Gronkowski away, what are you left with?
See, I don't think you can take Gronkowski away, even if you are that good defensively against him. He's a tough matchup, and even for teams that are that good, he's better than whoever they put on him. And I don't think they're taking him away from him. In fact, I think that impacts the entire defense. I mean, having said that, I think Jacksonville has what it takes to go in there and win. I still just don't trust Blake Bortles, and knowing what Bill Belichick does to questionable quarterbacks, I just don't see them going in there and winning, although they have the kind of team that could beat the Patriots and keeping the score down and running the football with Fournette. And I mean, I think I don't know what the Steelers were thinking when it came to covering Yeldon in the flat either. I mean, that was just
bad.
They didn't even try.
Bad, but that's another thing. You know, that's another thing that Minnesota does really well. That's another thing that Jacksonville does really well. They cover backs out of the flat really well. And that's another thing that you have to be able to do to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are going to win, but I do think the Jags keep it close and that they're in the game. And then if they're in it late with an opportunity, I think they could win it.
Yeah, Minnesota, 591 yards, 3 touchdowns allowed to tight ends this year. Jacksonville, 616 yards, 4 touchdowns allowed to tight ends this year. They do a good job with them. Now, again.
But they're not playing Gronk.
They're not playing Gronkowski.
And I think, and let's not forget that great Jaguar defense gave up 42 points yesterday. So, I mean, obviously that's one thing that Belichick does better than anybody is take stuff off film and figure out how to replicate it. So I think they're going to win. I still need to do more thinking on this Philadelphia game. I'm obviously leaning Minnesota right now. But, you know, I don't know for sure. It is, somebody mentioned it's an outdoor team. Outdoor game for an indoor team. And how will that affect things? I guess a lot's going to depend on the weather. We'll have to see what it looks like. But, you know, we shall see. I think that under 38 is probably a lock, though. I don't see those teams scoring very much between them. I saw that number. I'm like, man, that is a low number for a playoff game.
Yeah. Greg says, you think it's possible that when players start holding back on hits, tackles in that situation out of fear of getting flagged, we might have an NFL problem with how the rules on defense are enforced, or am I just being a little homer? I think you're being a little homer there because you didn't need to headhunt on that tackle.
Or ankle hunt.
All you had to do was wrap him up and pull him down out of the air.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah. 97 Sundell Patriots, slight advantage at quarterback versus the other three remaining quarterbacks.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's the...
But would you agree the Patriots have the worst defense of the four teams left?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's even debatable.
So it's, I mean, like I said, it's going to be a contrast. You'll either have a defensive battle in the Super Bowl, or you're going to have a great offense versus a great defense.
I prefer the great offense versus great defense because I like offense.
I prefer it I'm as tired as anyone of seeing the Patriots win the Super Bowl every year, but to me, the game is more interesting when you've got that dynamic added in, that not just the great offense, but the star power, the Tom Brady, the Bill Belichick, the Gronk. Like, that makes the game just more interesting in general to me.
The last game that we haven't talked about was the Philadelphia-Atlanta game. Nick Foles, serviceable, did not turn the ball over, which was good, and threw for 246 yards. Philadelphia, frankly, should have won this game by more. They turned the ball over twice.
Right.
And you know, another muff punt, like the same thing that happened to the Rams the week before.
Special teams. And Atlanta's got good special teams, and it paid off for them, but it just wasn't enough.
No. And Matt Ryan did not have a great game. He wasn't terrible, but couldn't make plays. And you know, that in the end there, I really thought they were going to get in the end zone. You know, you would expect Matt Ryan to be able to finish that drive off, and they didn't.
Well, and I don't know if it's all Matt Ryan's fault. Julio Jones, I mean, the chances are there.
Yeah.
You know, and Matt Ryan did what he could do, you know, and Julio Jones didn't come through for him in the clutch. But I don't think Matt Ryan was the reason they lost that game. But
yeah, but he didn't do anything to help them win.
He didn't do anything to make them win.
Yeah. So not a bad game, just not a game where you look at and say, oh, well. Yeah. I have to say,
you know what pisses me off too? You know how many people were like, what are your thoughts on Vikings Eagles total? And I kept saying, yeah, I lean under. That was the last cut for me was the lean under, because I had basically I'd thrown out the minus 13.5 on Tennessee, or the plus 13.5 on Tennessee. There was just too much, and I was like, you know what? The under's good enough for me. But I kept saying under on that game, and I didn't play it. That would have been, at least would give me one win for the week. I couldn't even do that.
Sean says Calais Campbell will be in Tom Brady's face up the middle. That's how Jacksonville will beat Brady, pressure in his face to disturb. That's how you have to.
That's the way to do it. I just don't know if they can.
Yeah, and that's the thing. As good a job as Doug Marrone has done this year, or apparently my twin brother, it's still... I mean, Bill Belichick in a playoff game, I'm slight edge at coach, slight edge at quarterback. And I think those are pretty big places to have edges. All right, let's do one more call, and then we'll get into some of this other stuff. Like, we got Bill O'Brien, 5-year extension. We got the Garrett Cole trade that I want to get to.
We got the Tennessee Titans firing their coach.
Yeah.
How about that? The Titans fire their coach after a 9-7 season where they win a playoff game. And the Texans extend their coach after he goes 4-12 for 5 years.
Yeah, John, what were you going to say there?
Oh, just to, if you were going to take this phone call, just to transition into it. Steve Gleason, the former Saint, after the play yesterday, he says, "Congratulations to the Vikings. I'm so in shock, I can't move."
Ah!
That's pretty solid.
That is good. He could have helped me out with that death pool last year, I'll tell you that much. I would have won the death pool if he would have croaked.
Yeah, who hasn't paid yet?
I got to check the list, but I think AJ's paid, Barry's paid, Patrick's paid. I think that's it. And Todd was going to give me a 20, but I didn't have change. So I'm guessing he's going to pay tomorrow.
Okay. Just curious.
What do you got, Warren?
Hey, guys. Sports.
I got a quick question, man, on my commute home in Louisiana watching the Saints lose the way they did. I've been addressing this question all day about Williams and the safety for the Saints. Is he, you know, I know he's a rookie and young and things of that nature. And, you know, I'm a professional on my job just like he is on his job, you know. And after making a error like he did on yesterday, going in there with his head down and missing that tackle, is he deserving of another chance. And I guess the other part is, in the Bill Belichick system, would his behind be gone? Or, I mean, because y'all are just making me, because me personally, I think, you know, if I make a mistake on my job, I blow my hand off or something.
Well, let me stop you for a second. Marcus Williams, who's a second round draft pick, dude was pretty highly touted coming out of college, a really good player in college at Utah. He's had a good season too. I mean, he's
been a really good player for him. And you know, if he doesn't get that interception, they're not in that position.
Yeah.
So I'm
going to go. I mean, and he's a second round rookie. He's not going anywhere. He's part of their future, man. And it's something that it sucks. And you know, it's easy to point to that one play and say that's why they lost the game. How about, why were you down 17-0 early? Is Drew Brees gone because he turned the ball over early on? I don't think so. I mean, it's just his play just happened to be at the very end, and it's a bad look.
Vincent, what are the differences between the Jags team and the Broncos team to beat the Patriots to go on and win the Super Bowl? Obviously, Manning's brain, not physically at his best at the time. He wasn't, but the one thing that Manning brought there at the end is he was making the right decisions. He was going to the right guys. You could see that he still had that. He just didn't have the physical skills to pull it off the way it used to. So, I mean, I think just him knowing where to distribute the ball and what plays to get him into were, I mean, that made a huge difference. That would be an edge over even Blake Bortles at his best. I would say that's a key difference. And I still think that Broncos defense was a little better. I mean, I think this is a good Jags defense, but that group was, I mean, they were beyond elite. All right, we are going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. Somebody says, crazy busy at grocery stores. Guess you guys were right. Well, I'm seeing incredible panic on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
About the coming storm. So be safe out there, people.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird to be talking about a winter storm when it's in the 60s outside, but here we are. It's coming tonight. All right. What do you want to get to next? We've still so much to cover here.
Well, I think we need to talk about the extension, and I'm not sure if you feel the same way about it I do. I just feel like this is Gary Kubiak 2.0. It's not like this is something that's it didn't come as a big surprise on Saturday. You know, you were talking about posting something for Sports Map. You probably could have written the story 2 weeks ago.
Probably.
And just held it until it was time.
But just like with the Kendall Briles thing, nice of them to hide that basically on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's the move.
I hate that, but sorry, go ahead.
I just think it's funny that all these other teams, I mean, think about what Indianapolis. Indianapolis they ran this division for years. 2 years without their franchise quarterback, coach is fired. Sorry, bro. No excuses around here. Tennessee gets to the playoff, wins a playoff game. Nah, see ya, Mike. You're not our guy.
Yeah,
although they try to spin it as a mutual parting of ways.
It was very strange because in his post game he was talking about continuity, and I guess he wanted to keep all the same coaches, and they're like,
right.
No, not happening.
Well,
so that's how you go from talking about an extension to out of work.
And then Jacksonville, who fired a coach and found the right one and now find themselves in an AFC championship game. It just seems funny that the Texans, who had the worst season, are somehow they somehow believe that they're on the right path with this guy. And I think in a way, you know, you look at the Pittsburgh model and they don't worry about the lows. It's a roller coaster ride. Everyone's going to go through ups and downs. They don't get too panicked about the downs. And that's why Pittsburgh's had like 5 coaches in their history. But the Texans, they stuck with Kubiak too long when he was mediocre. And I feel like what they've decided to do now is stick with Bill O'Brien too long, despite the fact that he's mediocre.
I think the message we're getting is Rick Smith was the problem. I mean, O'Brien is basically, now he's got all the power he wants. He's got the GM he wanted, the one that got chased off last year. So now that you're telling me that, you better perform. I can't see giving the guy 5 years.
Fred, do you remember we were doing the show when Gary Kubiak finally got fired?
Yeah.
And we always said, is it a Kubiak problem? Is it a Rick Smith problem? And we said, well, it looks like the Texans have decided. They decided that it's the GM was doing the right thing. The coach wasn't. So they fired Gary Kubiak. This time, it's the GM this time. This is his fault. Even though Rick Smith was, by all accounts, the one who stood up on a table and basically put his job on the line to take Deshaun Watson. Said, this is the guy. We've got to have this guy. Even though, again, by the accounts I've heard, and maybe you've heard different, Bill O'Brien did not want to draft Deshaun Watson. And they still, and really, Deshaun Watson, that's what saved Bill O'Brien's job.
Yeah.
If this team had started the season with Tom Savage and played if he had played through that 6-game stretch where the Texans went 3-3, this might have been a 1-15 football team.
I think they would have won 2. They would have won 2-14.
Okay. Yeah. But you never know with Tom Savage. No. He could have easily lost those games.
No.
But either way, I mean, it goes from being a really bad season to a like just a joke season. And somehow, you know what? Let's give him 5 more years. The guy who looked everyone in the eye before week 1 and said, I've seen Tom Savage in camp. I've seen Deshaun Watson in camp. Tom Savage is our guy. That guy you just gave 5 more years of control to. For the life of me, I don't understand it. And I think, you know what I think it is? I think they heard the rumors of, well, this team might want him.
Well, yeah, the rumors that he's leaking, or his people are leaking.
It's like a guy who's got a girl who doesn't cook and doesn't clean and cheats on him. And he's like, well, I don't want to dump her because I don't know who I'm going to go out with next, and I know she's going to find some other dude. Who cares? Yeah, let her find some other dude. What has she done for you? What's been so great for you that you got to hold on to this one? It doesn't make any sense to me, but the Texans as an organization continue to just baffle me. And they seem like, and nobody's going to say this in the organization, but it seems to me their actions say that they're okay being middle of the road. That's a comfortable thing for them. As long as they're not consistently a laughing stock, that's all right. We'll take it. And I just think it's a poor way to run an organization.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. I was not for giving him a new contract. I was for let him play out his last one, or give him a 1 year with a club option so that you can say he's got a 2-year deal. If that's what he wants to say, fine. But, you know, now you're clearly saying that this was the problem, so this is going to be our guy. I think if Deshaun Watson's healthy next year, they'll be right back in the playoff conversation. And the things that happened this year that he just hasn't improved at, number 1, clock management at the end of halves and in-game decisions, those things. And we see that from a lot of coaches. I mean, Mike Tomlin and Haley and those guys yesterday. But those are things that got covered up this year because they were so bad.
Yeah.
And the games where he was healthy and they were 3-3, they lost 2 games to really good teams because of that. The Seahawks and the Patriots.
Yeah.
Those games, those decisions were on him. That concerns me. That's the one thing that, moving forward, he's just got to get better at. But he's your guy, so you're stuck with him.
I think they're making the wrong call here, but it's done now.
Yeah, but I do think I was okay until – I was okay with bringing him back for another year, but 5 years?
It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they didn't fire him, okay. But let's see what he does with a full year. And I'm not convinced – I mean, so many things have to change for this to be a playoff team in my mind. Like, Watson staying healthy is the starter. Like, that has to happen for them to even have a chance. But they need to just murder this offseason. And I don't know if they're capable of that.
Well, that's what we'll find out. And that's why you brought in a new guy, right?
I guess so. But there's no, like, grace period. If they want to be a playoff team next year, you can't have, like, we had an okay draft and we got a couple free agents but didn't get all the guys we want. Like, you have to just maul this offseason for this to be a playoff team, because Jacksonville's for real. And their guys are locked up. That defense is going to be good for a while. Leonard Fournette's going to be there for a while. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, but I don't know that it even matters. Like, if they upgrade from Bortles, then it's even scarier. But even with Bortles there, I think Jacksonville is better than the Texans for the foreseeable future. Unless the Texans just, they've got so many holes they've got to fill. Unless they can fill them all really fast.
I would just say the Jags have won the offseason, 2 years in a row now?
Yep.
Texans turn. I mean, you can turn it around pretty quickly.
It's hard to win the offseason when you don't have a first or second round pick.
Yeah, well, they did get Jalen Ramsey very high. They're not going to have that. But
right. And they got Leonard Fournette very high.
Yeah. But I also think, there are enough pieces in place that if you fix that offensive line with a couple of really nice free agents, and you fix that secondary, and then pray to Tim Tebow that Mike Vrabel gets hired as head coach of the Titans so you can go out and get a real defensive coordinator, yeah. I think you see a significant upgrade in this team next year.
I can see a significant upgrade. I just don't know that it's going to be enough to catch Jacksonville. Could they catch Tennessee? I think catching Tennessee that's a reasonable goal. Yeah, and Tennessee made the playoffs. So
yeah, to me, they're pretty close to Tennessee. Even, I mean, hell, they played them reasonably close with Tom Savage.
But is 9-7 going to get you to the playoffs every year? No. Especially if you're not winning your division at 9-7. Now, the Texans had some years where, 9-7 got us in the playoffs because you won the AFC South.
Right.
The AFC South is no longer a joke. And if Andrew Luck comes back and is healthy, it's not. The Colts beat the Texans twice without Andrew Luck this year. I mean, it just seems like an uphill battle.
I think it's pretty clear. You're going to have to go out and fix those things.
And then you also have to knock on wood that Deshaun Watson gives you 16 games.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
if that doesn't happen, you can just throw it all out the window.
Yeah, I mean, this team has become very reliant on him, as it should be. But if he plays 16 games, I think they're a playoff team. I think they're better than 9-7. And I think he could even be better next year.
I think he can be better too, but man, I don't know if one player, I mean, you're making it seem like this is Tom Brady.
No, I don't know that he doesn't have, and I mean, I think that's the impact that he had on that team. It's a lot like Aaron Rodgers was. The difference when he was out, I mean, I'm not comparing him to Aaron Rodgers, but I'm saying the difference in that team. I mean, the drop-off between him to Savage, much greater than even the drop-off from Wentz to Foles.
Agreed.
And that was a guy that had an impact on your team. But
part of that is only because Savage sucks so bad.
Oh, that's true.
Like, if you had to choose between Wentz going forward or Watson going forward, I mean, it's hard to say. It's hard to say Watson. I mean, you've seen six nice games out of the guy, but you've seen six games out of him.
Yeah, I mean, if I only had, like, the best six of Carson Wentz and the best six of Deshaun Watson, I could probably make an argument, but I have more than that.
Right.
So, all right, we'll take a quick break. Our buddy Lance Sternline in studio. We come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text LIKE to 42424 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text LIKE to 42424. That's LIKE to 42424.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Joining us now, co-host The Bench. Follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. The incomparable Lance.
I follow him on Twitter.
I do as well.
Yeah. I don't get a follow. I mean, I follow both of you guys. I don't get a read. Here's the problem with Twitter. Since it's gotten so big, I just end up checking mentions and answering questions or dealing with smartasses. And then I don't get to read what other people are saying as much because it's so big now. And
yeah.
I used to keep it real tight how many people I
followed.
That's
why I don't follow very many people.
That's the way to go because you can actually follow people that you want to follow. Also, when I used to use TweetDeck, it was a lot easier, like during a show, to see stuff because it would scroll down. Now I just use the you know, computer based, and it's a lot tougher.
Yeah,
it's a lot tougher to do it that way. So I don't get to keep up with people as often as the people I actually want to keep up with. I don't get to see it as much.
So first off, let's start with Bill O'Brien getting a 5-year extension.
Yeah,
your thoughts on that?
Well, it was I figured he was going to get an extension. 5 years means they just basically worked the 1 year remaining, so it's in essence a 4-year. I'm not super surprised that he got the extension. I figured once Rick Smith was gone, in essence, Bill O'Brien had won the power struggle. And then once Brian Gain was set to come in, that meant that was a long-term. I felt like that was going to be a long-term deal because he was also asked early on at the press conference where Rick Smith had, you know, stepped down. They had asked Bill O'Brien, are you considering staying? Would you sign a contract extension? And he said, we're having talks right now. It's going well. Like he had given clues that was coming. So not entirely surprising. In essence, it's a 4-year deal, which is, and frankly, that's how Bob McNair operates. Super conservative, willing to give you the benefit of the doubt and willing to give you, you know, relatively long-term contracts.
We were talking about this before you came in. They have to win this offseason in free agency probably because obviously they don't have the draft picks. But how fast, and let's assume Deshaun Watson is healthy and playing, how fast can they get back to being a contender in your mind?
Well, I think that's a bully they're building in Jacksonville. So, God forbid Jacksonville gets a quarterback at all who can be a slightly above average because they're really, really going to be hard to beat. I think an interesting quarterback for them, you know, I still feel like with 5 potential first-round quarterbacks, I still feel like you might want to look quarterback in the first round, regardless of what Bortles, I don't care how far he takes him. Has he done anything in these last 2 games? And I know he had a good fourth quarter.
That's what I was going to say.
But do you honestly think that he is showing that he can be the leader of the future? It's been 4 years now. I mean, it's 4 years. It's a pretty good sample size. I don't know. I feel like they can get better with another quarterback.
Well, so you're saying that the Texans extend Bill O'Brien after 4 years of mediocrity, but the Jags shouldn't extend Blake Bortles?
I mean, if they'd like to, knock yourself out. Give him a 10-year deal for all I care.
No, I'm with you. I think that now I do think Jacksonville's got a luxury because they're good with or without Blake Bortles. They don't need him. They don't count on him for any measure of their success. And they've got to be confident in the rest of their roster, so they've got. I think they should be looking for something.
Yeah, but here's the problem. if you're building to win a Super Bowl, we will probably see, even though I don't think New England matches up great against Jacksonville, I think you'll see the difference in having a Blake Bortles versus anybody else, because you have to be able to go down and get points against New England. Now, they got points against the Steelers. He had a defensive touchdown. Leonard Fournette got off to a great start. Bortles did show up in the fourth quarter, which is good. But I think the big problem is that, you know, to win at the highest level, you need a quarterback who can make some plays. And Bortles can make some with his legs, but he's got to get to a point where he can make some with his arm. And I'm just not sure he can. See, Alex Smith would be the perfect fit over there because he doesn't disrupt what they want to do. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. And frankly, you know, Kirk Cousins would potentially make them incredibly dangerous. I think Case Keenum could make them more dangerous just because he also doesn't turn the ball over. So I don't know, but I'm saying all this to basically say, I don't know, even with Deshaun Watson back, I'm not sure that you're better than Jacksonville, to be honest with you. I really don't. I mean, where are you better than them? At quarterback?
Quarterback.
And then where else?
Quarterback.
No, not D-line. Yeah, not D-line. Probably not D. Well, I don't know.
Maybe we'll wide receiver. I mean, at least your number one wide receiver.
Yeah, of course, their number one was out for the year.
Right.
First game, so I don't know. Allen Robinson's pretty...
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
And Marquise Lee turned into a player, didn't
he? I think they're going to lose Marquise Lee, though. But they're better in the secondary, better at linebacker, defensive line. It's hard to find anyone that's better than them. The Texans, when they're healthy, could be right there with them. Offensive line, Jacksonville. Running back, Jacksonville. There's not a lot of Texans check marks, even when the injuries heal.
I'm curious. We talked about this with Minnesota. If the Vikings win the Super Bowl, they're probably going to, at a minimum, franchise Case Keenum and see what they've got out of him. I still, and this was the first 30 minutes of the show, I respect what Case Keenum's done. I think it's great. I don't want to be the team that says, hey, here's a 5-year mega deal. Congratulations, you're our franchise quarterback. No. I don't want to be that guy.
No.
And I don't want to be that guy with Bortles either. But if Bortles wins the Super Bowl, does Jacksonville have... I mean, even if he's just riding the defense, riding Leonard Fournette, do they have to keep him for another year?
Why would you operate differently for Case and Blake?
I'm kind of thinking the same... That's what I'm saying. I think it's kind of the same situation.
Yeah, maybe so.
Although, you can make an argument that Case had a much better statistical year than Blake Bortles did. You can look at Case's stats and go, you know what? This guy had a year. I'm not wanting to give either one of them a big deal.
No, I wouldn't either. You know, there's a cautionary tale with Joe Flacco. And I understand that it was just the perfect timing for Flacco to have a playoff run that started with Raheem Moore misplaying a deep ball. And they rode that all the way to a Super Bowl. And he rode that to a gigantic contract that's been an albatross around that organization's neck that they can't get out from under. And Joe Flacco's not helping them win games. Not really. Not at any kind of a level.
But Joe Flacco, even before that playoff run, was an average to above average quarterback. Better than Blake Bortles ever was.
Yeah. No, he was above average. But my point is, when you know he's not one of the highest paid quarterbacks talent-wise, when he's not one of the top five talents in the league, but you have to pay him like that, that hurts. That stings. And it has long-term ramifications. Yeah. And I'm just saying, had they not won a Super Bowl, their long-term prospects probably would have been better because, then again, just getting there, they would have, you know, had to pay him. That's just how it is. When Matt Schaub, when the Texans were just pretty good, they were pretty good, not quite good enough to get over the hump. What did they have to do? They had to pay Matt Schaub. Jay Cutler had to get paid by the Chicago Bears. Matt Stafford had to get paid from the Detroit Lions. I mean, I feel like being pretty good is one of the worst curses you can have at quarterback, because you end up paying and paying forever because you're terrified. It's like being in a relationship that you're not happy with, but you're afraid of, well, I don't know what's out there.
I gave this exact same thing about Bill O'Brien a minute ago. Like,
yeah, it's better than the devil you know.
Yeah, she doesn't cook, she doesn't clean, she cheats on you, but you're like, man, what can I get better? You know, it's such a poisonous thing. But yeah, I understand. And I think like the Bengals are a great example of that. Like, and they
with Marvin Lewis.
Well, with Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton. It's like, yeah, you know, you've got these guys, and it's like, well, are they great? No. Are we ever going to win a Super Bowl with these guys? No. But if they go, what are we going to get?
Most organizations would hit reset. Like, the Marvin Lewis contract extension, it to me is one of the craziest things in sports. It just shows.
I don't think it's any crazier than what the Texans just did.
Well, it may not be, except for the fact that Bill O'Brien is coming off of the one thing you have is young quarterback produced 30 points a game. Young quarterback wants Bill O'Brien. Marvin Lewis literally has nothing going for him.
No.
A long-term run, no success, the momentum is gone, the locker room is tough to deal with, and it's just Cleveland, Cincinnati just saying, it would cost us more to get another a good head coach. This head coach is fine with us not spending anything on personnel. Let's just keep rolling like this.
I just try to imagine, what would Bill O'Brien do if he had Andy Dalton for 4 years?
Oh, he would struggle.
Would he have been in the playoffs? I tend to think no.
With the Bengals or with the Texans?
With the Bengals.
I don't know. The Bengals have had some pretty good talent at different times. I don't think
– I just keep thinking like Marvin Lewis consistently got an Andy Dalton-led football team to the playoffs. There's something to be said for that.
That's some pretty good assistance too, though.
Well, no, wait a minute. Bill O'Brien got Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brock Osweiler, yeah, and Brian Hoyer to the playoffs.
Yeah, but
he didn't get Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
Well, that's also he was playing in the worst division in football.
No question.
And the AFC North, you could say over the last 5 years, even though maybe 10 years, even though Cleveland's been
they've had
a trash
salty,
can,
they've had two salty teams in there for sure.
Three
and three if you count the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not an easy road to the playoffs through Cincinnati.
No, no. What are we arguing about, Bill O'Brien versus Marvin Lewis?
I think they're the same thing. I just think they're the same thing.
Yeah, most organizations wouldn't have given, on the heels of a 4-12 season, wouldn't give, basically turn over complete control of an organization to a head coach who just went 4-12. Because that's in essence what happened.
Right.
They just said, no, Rick Smith, you lost. We're turning everything over to Bill O'Brien. We're getting his guy in as GM, and he's going to run the show. And the problem you have with that is you can see, people can say whatever they want, but the reality is you're 3 years in before you can consider making any changes. So you have to make this work. And we'll see with Bill O'Brien having a long runway now, we'll see how he, you know, handles day to day. How does he handle his players? Does he treat people in the building good? Like, or does he just say, I can do what I want? I have free reign right now and no one can do anything. Or does he learn from some of the mistakes over these last 4 years? Because he's softened from when he came in.
Right.
He's not, but I always wondered how much of this.
He doesn't have like the arrogance that he had because his resume won't allow him to.
But I also wondered how much of that was prepping for his next job potentially and not trying to come off as an a-hole. You know what I mean?
I guess.
And I wondered if any of that was just trying to put on the good face. So I'm interested to see now that he has a long-term contract, if he still is that guy who said, yeah, I've learned from how, you know, my first couple of years in the league and I'm going to dial it back, or if he says, hey, it's my way or the highway for real now.
He just feels like such a bamboozler to me.
Does he?
Would you say he had great success at Penn State?
No, it was such a short sample size. He did do some things to help turn them around, recruiting-wise.
Would you say that he had great success in his first 4 years here?
I just don't think he's a people person.
I just think for a guy who's got a track record of mediocrity, there's more people talking about him as like, oh, this guy, if the Texans let him go, the Giants, the Patriots, they'll be all over him. And I think that scared Bob McNair and going,
it might have.
We can't lose this guy. Other people want him.
I knew a team that was interested in him. And really interested, and they think he's a good coach. And then it turned into we need to dig into the person he is, because if he's going to be in our building, we got to make sure that he plays nice with everyone and that, you know, we can all work together towards a common goal. Because, you know, he didn't leave Penn State on great terms, and he and Rick had a professional relationship,
also,
but I don't think it was great.
Penn State got better the day he left.
Yeah, but he did. But, you know, some of those recruiting classes were, those recruiting classes were pretty good. And James Franklin has done a really good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
But I just feel like this is a guy who's really accomplished little and for some reason has everyone fooled into thinking that he's the answer.
I don't think there's any excuses next year. You got Whitney Mercilus coming back, another year of Clowney. I don't care if J.J. Watt never plays another game. You have enough talent defensively. Young linebackers. You guys, as an organization, you made a decision to let A.J. Bouye walk as an organization.
Because
you had Kevin Johnson and J.Jo. Well, J.Jo's going to be gone, and Kareem Jackson can't run. So what are you going to do now? You know, you better get this figured out. I don't want to hear a bunch of excuses. You don't need to hear a bunch of excuses. You got guys you wanted. You know, make it work. Other people don't have everything perfect, and they make it work. Bill O'Brien's got to make it work. He has a young quarterback that is dynamic and one of the most talented young players in the league. Make it work.
But like you said, and this is where I agree with Fred, I would have let him play this year out because, you say there's no excuses. The reality is if they go 5-11 next year, not one thing changes.
No.
They're stuck with it.
No, I can't. And, yeah, you could have let that play out. Now, I don't know why the Texans – Bob McNair just doesn't like playing chicken, I guess. Because you could have said, well, look, we're keeping you. We're going to get rid of Rick, and we're bringing in a guy you like, but we're still not going to give you
that's what I would
an
have
extension.
Said.
That is, you know, you could do that. It's interesting.
And then if the guy makes the playoffs and you got to pay him.
If Rick is gone, he's going to want to stay anyway. If he did well, he's going to want to stay. What, yeah. Are you afraid you're going to lose him? If Rick Smith's gone, he's going to want to stay with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Because that's the one guy who's given him any measure of success.
Hey, he watched Bill Belichick's career with Tom Brady. He knows what a good quarterback can do. Yeah.
Well, he now that he's seen one, he knows.
Yeah. Now that he had seen one previously.
All the ones he thought were good.
Yeah, Christian Hackenberg.
That didn't work out.
Yeah. So,
Tom Savage, this is our guy. I believe we can win with Hoyer or Mallett.
How about no extra point yesterday after the touchdown in the Saints game?
Oh, this guy got lucky.
Yeah, I had Saints plus +5.
Yeah,
you got a push?
Yeah, I got a push. Actually,
but he had Saints money line.
I also had Saints money line, so that was a bad beat. But my big bet was Patriots and Patriots over, and I kind of got lucky to get the Patriots over, so it evens out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
My big bet was
Patriots was an easy one.
Though. My big bet was the Steelers.
Oh, that was a good feeling.
Oh, boy. They didn't get all – I just raped the book last week. This week, they didn't get all of it back. But they got all of it that was any fun back. Like, it's back to where it's like, damn it. You know, like, you're feeling good. You log into that account, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm on top of the world. And now it's back to like, ugh, I got to get to grinding again. And why am I wasting my time betting football? And,
I liked last week when we talked, I liked the Falcons, the Eagles plus the points at home against the Falcons. I like the Vikings this time. I just think the Vikings defense is just too consistent. I don't see the running game going for I don't think you'll do anything against those corners, and then I don't think Minnesota or Philadelphia can get a running game going. I do think this one's going to be low scoring. I think we have an official low scoring game here.
My big concern with that is that hook. I don't know that. If the game were in Minnesota, I don't know that I'd
wait
say,
it out. I think it'll go to 3.
Yeah, it's that's what I'm hoping for. But
I think it'll go 3 because there will be enough people who say, Minnesota should have lost anyway. Let's take this 3 and a hook, and then once it goes to 3, you're golden.
Right. But I guess they're basically saying that if this game was in Minnesota, they're 9.5 points?
Yeah, 6-point swing, 5.5 point swing. Yeah,
that's. Would you take Minnesota -9.5?
Not
in
really.
Minnesota?
No, not in the playoffs. Not really.
That's where I'm at. Now, Jacksonville, I like Jacksonville plus points this week, I think. I think defensively.
What's the number?
9. I think defensively, Jacksonville and Minnesota are built to slow down the Patriots.
Yeah, Jacksonville, if Blake Bortles has a good game, Jacksonville wins.
All he has to do is not give away the ball.
I think if he doesn't give it away, you got a shot to win. If he has a good game, you do win. And if he plays average to below average, you can't win. He's got to play a little bit better than that because I do think you can hold the Patriots down. But, you know, Bill Belichick shows people things they haven't seen all year long.
Right.
So he's going to have something that specifically takes 27 out of that game.
Well, we talked about this in Minnesota and Jacksonville because I think I've kind of assumed that Minnesota is going to beat the Eagles. But those are the two teams on paper that, to me, that match up the best with New England.
Yeah.
And New England absolutely didn't want to see Jacksonville here.
They
know the Steelers.
They can roll Steelers.
They've got that one figured out.
The Steelers to New England are what the Rockets are to Golden State. you're playing a similar type of system, but they just do
They're just better at it.
Yeah.
But Jacksonville, Minnesota, both great rush in the passer. They take away tight ends. They take away running back throws to the flat. They take away everything that the Patriots beat everybody else with.
Mm-hmm.
And that they do it better than anyone. And that's why I said, man, the Patriots, if they're going to win a Super Bowl here, they're going to have two games in a row where they don't play basic Patriot ball where, you know, Gronk and Deion Lewis are just dinking and dunking and killing everybody. They're going to have to figure out another way.
Yeah, Patriots find ways to win, you know, but I don't know how. They're going to have to – I think the dink and dunk is what they're going to have to do. I am so interested to see if it's Jalen Ramsey on Gronk, because if it's not, to me, you've made a terrible miscalculation if you're Jacksonville. You have got to put your best defender, who happens to be big and physical, on Gronk. Because if you take Gronk away, Tom Brady's effectiveness really plummets. A.J. Bouye on Cooks, Jalen Ramsey on Gronk, and you say, take it away, James White and Danny Amendola. You guys can beat us. And Deion Lewis, if you can beat us, go ahead. You win. You're the better team. But you can't just let 87 get matched up against linebackers. It's just put your best cover guy on them.
Yeah.
Or at least mix up the coverage.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because I think, and especially because you've got A.J. Bouye on the other side, like, you can afford to lose a corner, basically make a corner a safety,
mm-hmm.
and play him like that the whole time. Because what are you going to – I mean, if you lose because Chris Hogan beat you, well, all right, you lost because –
yeah.
But
I would play
– I'd take my chances with Jalen Ramsey over Barry Church covering Gronk for a whole game.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. And if you're – you know what, frankly, I mean, you almost have to play Telvin Smith, or one of those fast linebackers on him, because he's just too much. You're not going to stop him. It's one of the weirdest things. It's not like – he doesn't look fast, but he clearly gets open. I still haven't figured out the Gronk thing yet. Like, how does he always get open? How does he make every tough catch? How does he is just – he's one of the great
– he's got great hands, and he's physically just so monstrous. Let me ask you one more question before we let you go. If Kenny Vaccaro were healthy, are the Saints going on to the next round? Because Kenny Vaccaro, I said, he baptizes Stephon Diggs right when he makes that catch.
Yeah, you're right. He would. He would. But I don't know if you're – Kenny Vaccaro also wasn't having a great year. But yeah, Kenny Vaccaro doesn't let that happen.
He ain't letting anybody get away that easy.
No. He's going to pop him, and it's game over. That guy had to literally duck out of the way for the Vikings to win.
If it wouldn't have cost them the game, didn't it look like it was point shaving?
Oh, yeah. either that or somebody deathly afraid of contact. Just
Or it's like, what was that movie where the ghosts are the ghosts are helping the baseball
the
team?
Outfield. Oh, yeah, Angels in the Outfield?
Yeah. It's like there was some ghost who just shoved him over. He's about to make a tackle, and some ghost just shoved him down.
Yeah, so somebody said it was Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
Could have been.
Pretty good.
Could have been. All right, Lance, appreciate it, man. We're going to talk to you next week about these quarterbacks. I know you dug into Sam Darnold.
Darnold
who
today,
I'm really
and I'll have Baker and Rosen done by Friday if you guys want to do it again.
Let's do it.
All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.